Disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt. It's time.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Hey, pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
I had a good day yesterday. Actually, went out yesterday evening and staked the property. Not my property. I went out and staked the property of the rest of our children. I'm the head of the. I'm what they call the patriarch. That used to be a word that we would use without shame. You guys do remember that, don't you? That once being the patriarch of a family was an honorable thing. That's exactly what else the left has done. The Luciferian left has turned the idea of a father passing down an inheritance and a blessing to his children is now racist, white privilege. The Bible tells us that a wise man, any wise men out there? A wise man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. And I've often said that you want to find out how good a parent you are, look at your grandchildren. Look at your grandchildren, because the real fruit of your life will show up in your grandchildren if you've been a good parent. To some of you, that's probably a scary thought. But the truth is, it's just evidence. It's just evidence of whether we've done what it tells us to do. Is it Psalm 78? I may have the right one. That we're to... It's not Psalm 78. It's doesn't matter. That our duty is to pass it to our children, to our children's children. 78. It's Isaiah 7. It doesn't matter. You don't have to go there. And so yesterday, you know, Spencer, I know you don't have this because I just popped into my brain. The Holy Spirit just popped it into my brain. The stake thing that we did the other day. What is at stake? Was that the name of that website, Spencer? What is at stake? I went out yesterday and took my granddaughter with me, one of our granddaughters, and I staked my children's properties. Yes, they have homes as well. What are the stakes? I think that's what it is. I emphasized this to you before earlier this week that it's nothing more than just a reclaiming of the ground that the enemy has stolen out of our families, reclaiming of it. I took my granddaughter Macy out with me, and we went and staked her property, her mommy and dad's property, and explained to her that we were claiming this property for Jesus Christ. That there had been a lot of people who'd lived in the home that they live in, and it had changed hands several different times, and nobody knows what went on inside that house and whether there were any type of, did those people love Jesus? Did they not love Jesus? And so Macy and I went out and we staked her property of her mommy and her daddy. Because why? I'm the patriarch. I have the rightful authority to be able to do that. And I went back and I reclaimed that property as a heritage for the Lord. That my children are caretakers. They are gatekeepers of that property. And it's not only my right, it's my responsibility as a patriarch of my family to exert that influence over our children.
Amen, Coach.
We went and did it. And I know it was an unbelievably incredible experience for little Macy to pound those red stakes. Michelle, if you could, I know she's listening up there. Could you bring that one red? I got an extra stake left over. Spence, you having trouble finding that? Website's not loading. Okay, the website again was my brain. What are the stakes? What are the stakes?
Make your own stake.
You can make your own stake. You don't need the stakes. You can make your own. So now sky high, down through my property, up through Morgan and Abby's property, has been staked. We declared it off limits to any evil. Now we can open up portals We can invite evil back in. I can sit in front of my computer and, yeah, Betty's got one. If you guys can see Betty on there. I can sit in front of my computer and watch pornography all day. I'd open up some portals. I can do all that kind of stuff. I can sit around and watch all kinds of wicked television and open up portals back in there. Right now, our property's been cleansed of the impact of the devil. Cleansed of it. He can't come in. It's off limits to him. Unless somebody invites him in. I want to give an acknowledgement. Just while I'm thinking of it, I got a text from, my wife got a text from our resident pagan, former pagan, Stephanie, about how much she was praying for us and was covering our back. And I want you guys to know that my family, we appreciate that more than you can ever know. We are, whether you want to admit it or not, if you're part of this program, you come to this program every day, we're the tip of the spear. The enemy would like nothing better than to take us out. Certainly he'd like to take you out, right? He wants to take everybody out. But he'd love to take this out. And so I appreciate those of you who faithfully pray for us and pray for our family every day. I understand every day when I come down here, I look at what's going on with Kyle Rittenhouse. I look at what they did to the, what was that kid from Covington, Kentucky? What an animal they made him out to be.
Nick Salmon.
You look at Nick Salmon, you look at the lies that they told about Donald Trump. We now know that everything about that Russian was a lie, every bit of it, that it was all done by the Hillary campaign, all of it done by the Hillary campaign. Is she going to serve a day in jail? Is she going to sit in front of a jury in Kenosha, Wisconsin, like Kyle Rittenhouse is? No, she ain't going to do that. No. Why? Because there's no justice, right? So we have to understand that those of us who are in this game, you're going to have to make a decision. Jesus himself said, no man builds a tower and gets halfway through it and realizes it's more than he's willing to spend. Nobody does that. There ain't no getting in and getting out of this game that we're in. You either signed up for life or you didn't. If you're riding the fence and you just kind of out there hanging and you don't know if you're all in or not, I'm going to tell you this right now. You better get all in. Because where this escapade, this great adventure, Stephen Curtis Chapman, get that ready. Great Adventure, Spencer. Find that on YouTube. The Great Adventure. Saddle up your horses, boys and girls, because it ain't going to get better. It's going to get worse.
I'm a lifer, coach.
What's that?
I'm a lifer.
I'm a lifer too, brother.
I'm in for a life.
I'm a lifer. I'm willing to lay down my life. Literally willing to lay down my life. And so we have to up our game. That was the theme that the Holy Spirit gave me today as I was putting together the program. We have to become more bold. We have to become more truthful. We have to become more hated. That's an unusual word, isn't it? Because Jesus said that you'd be hated of all men. He didn't say we'd be loved of all men. Jesus said they hated me first. Where did we get this idea in American Christianity that it's all about love? And we'll just go out there and just share the love of Jesus. I had a conversation yesterday. My wife witnessed it. Someone called me and I was having in the midst of the conversation. I said, listen, I'm a truth teller. All right. I said, not everybody likes it, but I tell the truth. And then the person on the other end of the phone said, well, always make sure that you share the truth in love. And then the top of my head blew off. I said, what does that even mean? Because I want you to know something. When somebody who's being corrected, reproved and rebuked, I'm going to tell you this right now. Whenever you are reproving or rebuking somebody with the truth, it don't feel like love. In fact, the truth sounds like hate to those that hate the truth. So the idea that you can make a truth, wait a minute, that you can make an uncomfortable truth feel loving, you're wasting your time. And if you're sitting around all the time saying, you know what, I need to go talk to so-and-so, but I got to figure out how to present it. Why don't you just go present it? Why don't you just go speak the freaking truth? The greatest example of love. God is love. Jesus is truth. The two are one and the same. When you speak the truth, it is love. They will not receive it. They will hate it. But it also says in Ezekiel that when you do so, you have delivered your own soul. Where is that? That's Ezekiel 13, maybe. I don't know. I'm all over the place. I'm not all over the place. I know where I'm going. Yes. All right. Thank you, Spencer. That was quick. Keep going on down there. And no. That's the Lord. So I'll break down the wall. Keep going. Oh, that's no. It's good. I mean, I'm not going to hang with it. Okay. Hey, I've set to you a watchman upon the wall. I'm a watchman upon the wall, folks. That's not, I got the wrong one. Ezekiel 13. Don't worry about it. I'm a watchman on the wall. The watchman speaks the truth. And we got to up our game. You can throw away a book, How to Win Friends and Influence People, because we need to really buckle down and understand this journey ahead isn't going to be easy. See, we still have this. I'm Mr. Optimism. That's where I live my life. It's all going to get better. I'm Mr. Optimism. But I'm going to tell you this. We have no idea what we're going to have to go through for things to be set right. If you think that God-hating Luciferian left that is in total control over the American society, if you think that devil's going to give up that grip without a fight, boy, are you the most naive of people in America. We have people running around think, boy, if we just get Donald Trump back in, we get Donald Trump. I saw Dick Morris said that the Democrats are probably going to lose 100, maybe 150 seats in the House. It'll be a total, complete Republican. So is that going to be victory? A Republican House? Is that really? It? Now we just get Republican liars in there, Republican cheaters in there, dishonest Republicans in there, conservative Republicans. That's going to be that, huh? It's going to be conservatism that's going to save us. But that's where most Christians are. They have no clue. We still have people listening to the show don't take vitamins and minerals. Still don't do it. It's amazing to me. We have people listening to the show who still have done no food prep. None. Amazes me. And if you guys aren't doing it, what does it tell you about everybody else? I said, you hear my phone blowing up over here. It's probably Stephanie. She usually texts me. No, somebody else about something else maybe. Whoa, let me see here. Okay, Jeff. If what you're living for ain't worth dying for, then you ain't really living. That's from Jeff. I agree with that. Oh, Lord. Saddle up your horses. Go ahead and play that. That'll encourage me here. Then we'll go someplace. Can't hear it, Spence. Used to not be able to play it because YouTube would ban us. Read about me. It hit me like a lightning bolt. Trail to blaze, baby. The glorious unknown. Life like no other. You imagine sitting around living life for yourself? What a mess. Condition that would be. He's living for me. For the ride of your life. to leave religion and a cloud of dust behind. Yes, sir. Let's discover them. You betcha, man. We're going to try to blaze. Yes, Lord. We got a trail to blaze. You can take it down now. We got a trail to blaze. Spencer, pull up Ezekiel 33:7. Thanks, Polly, for sending it to me. I was in the process of finding it when your text message popped up. This is by the way, I don't know about the rest of you. I wear this yoke. I wear this yoke joyfully. I don't shirk this off.
Amen, brother.
Ezekiel 33, verse 7. I wear it proudly. So thou, son of man, I've set you a watchman unto the house of Israel. Oh, I won't go there. Therefore, thou shalt hear the word of my mouth and warn them from me. When I say unto the wicked, O wicked man, you shall surely die. And if you do not speak to warn that wicked from his way, that wicked man that you're supposed to be telling the truth to is going to die in his sins, but his blood I'm going to require at your hand. At the end of the day, the Lord's going to say, it's your fault. You didn't tell him. But when I say unto the wicked, O wicked man, you shall surely die. And if you do not speak to warn the wicked man. Nevertheless, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at his hand. Nevertheless, if you warn the wicked of his way to turn from it, stop doing it, if he doesn't turn away from it, he's going to die in his sin. You and I are okay, dude. Therefore, O son of man, speak unto the house of Israel. Thus you speak, saying, if our transgressions and our sin be upon us, we pine away in them, how shall we then live? It's my duty. It's my job. It's my job to speak the truth. It's yours too. I made a note to myself. You know what we need to start doing? Here's what some of you need to get in the game. No, not watch the game. Not watch the game. You need to get in the game. And I'm offering myself up right now. I'm willing to do video conferences. I'll come when I can, but I'll do video conferences at your house to a group of people that you gather. If you're really, really serious and you really, really want to make a difference, then get 6 or 8 or 10 or 12 of your friends over and I'll speak some truth to them and then we can have a discussion. Some of you need to get more actively involved. We are at a build momentum point. We have a great, as John would say, a rude awakening about to come upon America. And once the rude awakening comes, it's going to be almost too late to gather the saints because you're not going to be able to communicate with them. We need to get out in front of the eight ball. You need to get out in front. Say, Coach, I got 10 people coming over to my house Saturday night. Can you give us a half hour over Zoom? Can you give us a half hour? Yes! Although, I don't need to. But I will if you need it. Because can I tell you the truth? My own children listen to other people more than me. They don't listen to me. I'm their dad. Familiarity breeds contempt. Your kids don't listen to you. Will they listen to me? Maybe. Will they listen to, I don't know, pick somebody out. Will they listen to somebody else? So I challenge some of you. Get some people together and do a video conference. This isn't hard to do. We'll help you set it up. But we have to move beyond coming in here every day and not moving, not bringing it to action. I got two things. I got this kind of a monologue hanging in with me. I'm chastising the team today. Spencer, bring up regardless of the price. Regardless of the price. In one of those, somebody emailed me this. In one of those experiences in 1893 in the city of Los Angeles, California, I was shut away from the world on my face before God, crying for more authority and power to cope with the tremendous powers of darkness in that city. 1893, at that time, manifest through spiritualism. The devil was exalting through a medium who claimed to heal diseases. The people were receiving the abominable imposition. Holy jealousy for the truth arose in my heart. Folks, when was the last time a holy jealousy for the truth rose up inside of you? Every time I watch that lying attorney in Kyle Rittenhouse, I want to go, ah! The devil was exalting through a holy jealousy. I'm sorry. I saw as never before how the church was being obscured by the multiplied counterfeits of Satan. We were professing to have the light of the gospel, but oh, how dimly our gospel shined. The clouds of deception for the pit of hell were darkening the world, and only here and there a flickering light that could be seen in the gloom and darkness. This was a vision which saddened me beyond my power to endure. Oh, how my inmost soul mourned and wailed. This terrible pressure laid me low in the dust. Could the precious cause for which my Savior died and for which my life is being sacrificed daily be thus bleeding as the jaws of a ferocious lion? And in the depths of this sat musing with intense desire, my heart was uplifted to God in prayer for the gift of healing. Oh, that the church might be upon the plane of power and authority where the apostles lived, with the glorious light of truth shone out from heavenly glory in such power that it dispelled the gloom and darkness of Satan. Could not the same light now in this awful age do the same thing? Could God's light not shine forth today? Instead of the church being a helpless prey in the mouth of a lion, could the church not rise in the strength of Jehovah and beard the fierce, ferocious monster with mighty sword of truth, make him the prey? The gifts of healing with apostolic power could alone supply the cry of my soul. Without some assurance of this, I could never arise from my face. On that spot, a solemn scene was presented to my vision. I saw the apostles and the primitive saints at the stake. We read that the other day, didn't we? Their blood was flowing. Burning flames were covering their bodies. I heard in plain words this question to me. Are you willing to pay this price? I was asking for the gifts of healing and apostolic power, and here was the price it would cost. Was I willing to pay it? There was a sinking within me for a moment, and then, as if I was shedding my life's blood, I looked up with an eternal, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I'm willing to pay it. From that moment, my prayer was turned to praise. The overwhelming assurance was wonderful. The Holy Spirit witnessed to my soul that these gifts were in the church, that I might have a share in the exercise of the same, to labor and to suffer in this capacity, to bear the reproaches and persecutions which would necessarily follow. You get what he's saying? He's going to be persecuted for the gift of healing. Needless to say, dear brother Byers went out on to fulfill an amazing healing and delivery ministry. His opponents were not worldly souls, but alas, his opponents were other pastors who gave their parishioners harsh retorts and warnings about him. How my heart has hungered to see Jesus elevated to his rightful place in the church and in me, thus manifested to the world as he truly is, altogether wonderful, all-sufficient, all-powerful, almighty God. How I abhor this flesh which prevents him from expressing himself in fullness. The Lord has persuaded me that before signs and wonders can follow the word being preached, he's going to have to clarify and cleanse the word being preached. Many claim to have the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. But for the most part, the confirmation of the Lord is not abundant. You don't see it, folks. The truth must be preached and practiced without compromise or thought of the consequences. I'm going to say that again. The truth must be preached and practiced without compromise or without thinking what it might cost you.
Amen.
We must not continue to form a doctrine or a religion out of glimmers of revelations that he gives us. This taints the word and denigrates it. Those who dare to press upstream and proclaim the revelation he gives, releasing it completely, will receive more revelation. Folks, that's why the Holy Spirit speaks to me every day. I come here every day and tell you what he told me. Those who will dare to press upstream and proclaim the revelation he gets, releasing it completely, will receive more. Those who continue to please man by compromise, profusely adding their own interpretations to clarify it, will lose what little truth they have, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. However, he will have a people who will proclaim his truth with holy boldness, regardless of the price. I want to stand in that line. That's the line I want to stand in. I want the world to hate me. Jesus said it hated him first. I want to be second in line. I don't want to be a man pleaser, a people pleaser, a compromiser, a go along to get a guy, get along. Don't want to be one of those guys.
Boom.
We're not committed to the truth. We like to talk about it, but we're not committed to proclaiming it, which is what he wants us to do. Come on in, Reggie.
Good morning, Coach. I just wanted to encourage people. It's very hard to stand in truth. And without exaggeration, almost daily, I am fighting somebody because of so much rampant error. And I am a person who the Lord has said, you must speak truth. I've been doing it. I make my family uncomfortable. I make my kids uncomfortable. I make everybody around me uncomfortable. But God, the Lord made us all leaders. And I know that people say, no, we all can't be leaders. Right now, everybody
yes,
must start
sharpening
their head and being
people in this crew are. People in this queue are leaders, that's for sure.
Absolutely. And you guys have got to speak up. You have to be willing to die for Christ, meaning you're going to be uncomfortable. You're going to be hated. You're going to be maligned, slandered, defamed. But I want to encourage you to do it. I'll stand behind you.
Hey, Reggie, it's not a choice, it's a mantle. Folks, it's not a choice, it's a mantle. You're either going to run from it or you're not. Come on in, Myra.
Good morning, saints. I would like to read Acts 26:18. To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Yes, we got to speak in truth and pray that their eyes are open. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. I want to pause right here because I want to hear from some of you. Because, you know, a lot of times people come into the show and they really don't understand how broad our reach is and what's really going on. And I real quickly this morning jotted down some names. And I want to give some of you a chance to come in, tell us what you're doing. And then I want the rest of you as you sit there. And I said, okay, your turn. I'm going to call on whoever. I'm going to call on Billy Bob. Billy Bob, what are you doing? And here's silence. I just jotted down just something real quick. People who are out there actively doing something with their faith, daily making a difference. I got 7 or 8 of them I wrote down. I'm going to miss some. Neil Leiby. Huh? Neil Leiby.
Yeah, Ray. I'm here. Do you want me to say something?
No, hang on a second.
All right.
Ray, JR, Kevin Van Story, Bobby Lee, John Diamond, Betty Perkins, Mike Heath, Rob Pugh, Randy Lunsford, Mark Trump. I could go down on. I could go on and on and on and on and on. To people who come here every day. Some come here and listen and learn, and some come here, listen, learn, and move. And I can promise you this, folks, those of you out there, if you move, the Holy Spirit will come. In fact, he's standing right behind you, egging you on. he's right behind. See, okay, come on in and brag. Come on in and brag, Neil. What are you doing?
The Lord has instilled it upon.
Keep going. See, the names my names go on and on and on. It's more than just me. It's more than just me. This thing's spreading like wildfire. Come on in. Come on in, Neil.
The Lord has laid it upon Mary and mine's heart so much to keep the family strong, to keep the marriage strong. It says in Luke 12, I believe it's 49 or 52, that in the end times, father will be against son, son will be against father, so forth and so on. The one relationship that he's not going to break is husband and wife. And if you can keep the bond of marriage strong, that keeps the family strong. You can go forth as warriors for Christ, and you can get your brothers and sisters involved with strong marriages, strong communities. That's how we take this country back. We have to start with strong marriages, and that is our passion. Even though we're very active with other things in our community, we have a mutual assistance group. We love our church. We have a brother that speaks the truth, and he's getting kicked in the teeth every week for it. And I told him, I says, Coach says, if you're over the target, you're going to get kicked in the teeth, and the worst thing that's going to happen with that, you're going to have to go to the dentist. But I don't want to take up too much time. But we love the Lord. We love doing the Lord's work, and he will lead you and guide you, and he will give you all the opportunities you need.
Amen. Amen, Neil. Amen, Neil. God bless you, Neil. Hey, go ahead and stack up over here. Dr. Paul Weinberg. I don't think that's Paul Weinberg. Come on in. And then Mike Heath. No? Mike, go. Come on in, Mike. Come on. Somebody else step in here and brag a little bit what you're doing.
So, Coach, can you hear me?
Yes.
All right. So, Steve and Jane Goodwin. Jane Goodwin's one of the earliest supporters of Coach Dave Live, going back 5 years. I don't think she's missed a show. Holy Spirit told me yesterday to go to their house because whatever this thing is that everybody is scared to death of has them in their grip, in its grip, and they've been locked down in their house because everybody's scared. Anyway, the Holy Spirit told me, yes, I went and bought some Mums and some chocolate, and I knocked at the door. Jane came to the door. She almost started crying. And nobody goes. Everybody's scared. The Christians are scared. I gave them great big hugs. Steve was real sick. He's 77. I called you because he was telling me symptoms. But here's the bottom line for me in that meeting. I looked right into Steve's eyes. He won't go to the hospital. He won't take the vaccine. He gets it. And he looked, I said, "You ready to die, Steve? Are you ready to die tonight?" Because he looked real bad. He looked right into my eyes and he said, "Yes." And so I'm headed over there again this morning. Yeah. Your courage, Coach, is contagious.
It's contagious. It's just not my courage. Courage is contagious, friends. Courage is contagious. It's contagious. Lord, we ask right now that you would break that, whatever that sickness is over Steve and over Jane, we break it out of that home now in Jesus' name. Be gone. Heal him, Lord. It's the children's bread in Jesus' name. Come on in, Tracy.
Hey, good morning, everyone. That was right about the family. Now that I'm starting to get my family right inside of my four walls, it's even.
Wait a minute. You may lose some of them, Steph Tracy. You may lose some of them. You got to stand for truth.
But I'm going to keep going. I'm going. I get calls to go to a rally and I'm gone. I travel here. I travel there. I've been going to school board meetings. I just signed up to be a poll watcher in the next election. I went to a Republican meeting last night, making phone calls, sending emails. You got to do something. You can't, I mean, you just, this is war. I mean, it's not going to change with us just sitting here. So
God bless you, you little turd. Come on in, Dennis.
Yep, come you on gave in. Me the courage. You gave me the courage, Coach.
Amen. Thank you. Come on in, Dennis.
Come on, somebody else line up in here.
Go ahead.
Say what?
No, I'm talking to everybody else. Line up in here. I want to hear your story. Go ahead. Go, Dennis.
Well, I just want to thank you for lighting a fire under my rear end. You know, you're a coach by, you know, profession as well as in Christ. Like, I tend to be procrastinator and drag my rear end here and there. But, I mean, you've lit the fire. And I'm taking the fight wherever I need to take the fight. And like right now it's with the military. You know, I heard yesterday that, you know, oh yeah, you can submit a religious accommodation request, but they're all going to be denied anyway. And yeah, it's coming from my leadership. So, you know, we're going to take it higher. We're going to push back.
Hey, St. Dennis. So here's the truth. See, those on the front lines are the first ones to go. They're not the last ones to go. It's the front lines that protect the second line and protect the third line, protect the fourth line. Somebody's got to be on the front line. Come on in, Randy.
Coach, I'm more grateful to you than he is.
Coach, I get it. God is changing. He's changing us, Coach. I've changed so much, Coach, in 3 years since I've known you. When I went down to Chad's with a friend, George Lewis, we went down to the Planned Parenthood in Austin. And I didn't know you, never heard you, never seen anything. And I'm not trying to build you up, Coach.
I don't want you to. You're just telling the truth. Go ahead.
I'm telling what Tracy saw. She saw someone exhibit courage, and it snatched her. It pulled her in, Coach. This is what pulled me in. You was willing to go sit down in the middle of a busy road and stop the traffic, Coach, to say – get the news out here. They got to see what we're doing. We have to get the truth out.
Amen.
And everybody who's talking, you know, Coach, you're not going to go sit down in the road. And you was willing to do it, and you would have, Coach, if you hadn't had Chad and a few others there to say, no, we don't want you run over, Coach. We love you.
Yeah.
Coach, that pulled me in. That act of just courage and faith, it pulled me in. I said, going home with George, I said, George, I found my tribe. I've been looking my whole life for the tribe that Amen. Will do something. And thank God for it. Thank God. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Randy. Come on.
Amen.
Kevin.
Amen, Randy. Amen to that.
Kevin and then Betty, go ahead.
Well, the only, you know, you slapped my face and kicked my ass and got me moving. I'm like, I was kind of like a pile of matchlight charcoal just waiting for a fire to come by, and I had a fire starter come by the name of Coach Dave.
And now you got a radio program every Saturday, and you're proclaiming the truth on that radio program, right? You're actively involved in the church, trying to wake up the church, right, Kevin?
Yes, sir. I'm actively Carolina? Involved in the church. I'm actively involved in the community. I'm standing out on street corners, agitating pro-aborts.
Making friends,
I've kind of laid low. for the last month because my friend, you know, they didn't attack me. They attacked my friend. And fortunately, the charges that he had against him was completely dropped. And the liberals in Joplin just lost their minds. Their heads twisted around like a little gal on The Exorcist. Anyway, I love making Satan mad. And I love tempting him because I know one of these days he's probably going to get me. But you know what? He's not going to get me without me proclaiming that Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. And I'm going to go down fighting. I'm not going to go down easy.
Amen.
I'm not going to go on my knees.
Come on in, Betty.
Good morning again. Yes, like I said before, you have been such an inspiration for me. You've taught me more in the last 6 or 7 months and given me a purpose in life where I have not been able to find it in any church, any family, any even friends. Our churches are dead, and I want it to be active. And people hate you even if you want to try to go out there and do something. They just
conviction. It's conviction.
So you guys are my family. I love you. My family hates me. I'm toxic. I'm everything. And I've really learned that in the last year, this last year, how they just use you and abuse you and just hate you. And then if you speak the truth, they hate you. So amen. God bless you. Thank you for everything.
Betty, it's what he told us. He said we'd be hated of all men. He said they hated me first. They're going to hate you. What is it we don't get about this, friends? What is it? God bless you, Betty. Joe Allen, come in. Then Jim B. And then Stephanie. I want to hear from you, Stephanie. Get ready. Come on. Joe Allen.
Yeah, I came in here when there were 10 to 20 people.
That's a while ago.
First thing I looked at is, what are the old farts doing here? We're the young men. There ain't no young men out there. Why is it us old farts out there trying to?
Because they don't see us old. They don't see us old farts living it out, brother.
That's
right. We're not a very good example. We're watching the Browns and the Buckeyes and pornography. Come on in, Jim B.
Coach, please take Stephanie first and come back to me.
Sure, Stephanie, come on in. Putting you on the spot there.
Can you hear me, Coach?
Yes, dear.
Yeah, no, I'm grateful. I tell you all the time. And it's not just me. There's a bunch of us, Coach. But if I wouldn't have walked in to that little conference in Canton, Ohio, and heard you talk about your stick man, I walked into that a shaman, a practicing witch, teaching people how to astral project, teaching people how to do this stuff. If I wouldn't have met you, if I wouldn't have heard about Nephilim, if I wouldn't have had that, I would still be on the hell train taking hundreds of people with me. And I was an ass puppet for Satan. I thought I was doing good and he was using me. That's why I'm so passionate. That's why I'm so fierce, is because I know how they work, how much they put into it. And out of all the pastors and churches in my life that I've seen, it took a coach for me to hear what I needed to hear, not a pastor. Mm-hmm.
And you're working
for me to understand it.
You're blooming where you're planted, right? Some of you want to go be in Madison Square Garden. You ain't even working in your garden. What are you talking about? The Lord will elevate your gift if you actively are faithful to do it. Be faithful and do it. And he will multiply your effort. Go ahead, Jim. Are you ready to come back in?
Yeah, Coach. Good morning. Coach, you know I love you. I consider myself to be a Barnabas and an encourager of the saints. And there have been times when I've used my gift to encourage people to go out and share the gospel. And I can't tell you, Coach, how many people that I have trained to do exactly that. And part of the training that we have is people will write a letter to God saying, why is it that I should be doing this, right?
Mm-hmm.
And these are all envelopes of people that came to the class, wrote this letter, sealed it in an envelope. I have no idea what they said here. But then they quit the training because, you know, that isn't my gift.
Uh-huh.
Coach, your gift is coaching people, right? You're a football coach, and you're a Christian coach teaching us and training us on a daily basis. And let me just use an analogy. If Ohio Brett, you're training him, you're coaching him how to play an offensive receiver, and you spend time and time and time with Ohio Brett, and one of the first plays of the game, Ohio Brett doesn't play the receiver like you trained him, but he has a better way. Interception happens, or he breaks for the ball. The receiver catches the ball and goes for a touchdown. Comes to the sideline and said, Brett, I trained you how to play that play. Why didn't you do it?
Amen.
And the thing I'm saying is, we pour ourselves into people, and when that doesn't bear fruit, it's very discouraging to us.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the point I'm making is it's easy to get discouraged when folks don't take the next step to follow through and just go out and use the training that you're trained. You grow into that.
Amen.
Amen. I'm sorry.
Bless you, Jim. Hey, folks, listen. Hang on. Mark, then Jeff, then Ohio Brett. Hang on. Hey, listen, folks, are you looking at me? Listen to me. We've done a horrible job of training people. When I go out, those of you who go with me know this to be the truth. I'll go on a rant without ever mentioning the gospel. I do not go out and try to bring Jesus to, I'm sorry, bring people to Jesus. I don't do that. I go speak the truth and let the Holy Spirit draw them. I couldn't recruit somebody to follow Jesus if I wanted to. I speak the truth. When you speak the truth, it opens up a dialogue. Speak Amen. Where they are, not where you're trying to get them. Amen. Speak right where they are. Talk about right where they are, their lives. You're going to take that jab? Why would you take that jab? Stay on it. It will guide them to truth. When you guide them to truth, then they're open to receive the gospel. Quit leading with the gospel. Come on, Mark.
Mark Collier?
Yes.
Okay, I didn't know if Mark Trump or whatever. Well, Dob, you kind of know my story. I think my gifting is similar to yours, because I pretty much brought up under you in coaching. I've lived in Columbus now for 4 months, and we already have a men's group going over here. I'm leading a men's group, and we're meeting again tonight, actually, for the second time. And I wasn't going to pop in, but some guy was talking about, you know, the old farts and the young farts and who's doing what. And it's interesting. I started the men's group, and everybody in my group is upper 20s to lower 30s.
Awesome. Married,
but without kids yet. So it's a great opportunity to train up men and to, you know, pray over your wives and pray in your house and set up prayer altars and where your nurseries are going to be as you're getting ready to start your families. And it's just been a blessing to me. And, again, I just pop in here to do a lot of learning and sometimes even get some material to share. But that's what's up with me right now.
Mark, you are in your calling, brother. You have been prepared for this your whole life, and you know it. So, in other words, you moved to a new town and started a men's ministry. I'll be damned. You didn't do it where you lived for 30 years and everybody knew who you were. Lord put you in a new garden. And you're planting some fruit.
Yeah, well, you know, I'll tell you, I'd be honest with you, and Heath, it was really easy because you have a captive audience. You know, you're a coach and you have 50 kids on your team and you're their boss and they have no choice but to listen to you.
Yeah.
You come over here, you know, and these guys aren't underneath me. They just show up because they want to be there and they want to learn the knowledge of the truth.
Amen, brother. Well, God bless you, Mark. Jeff, you make me proud. Jeff, come on in, then I'll hire Brett. Jeff Nell.
It's going on 6 years now. Being with you, you give a little of knowledge and an overwhelm, but I do have the power and resources to convict, to take the honor of someone's going to take a gun and shoot me, run me over with a car, motorcycle, bicycle, smoke, violence, homosexuals hate me, the politicians hate me. And so
Amen,
on and
you're
so
in the
on.
Game. You're in the game. You're on the front line in the game. God bless you, Jeff. Ohio Brett, then Jeff Klein.
Hey, I've been here for, I think, 13 months now, Coach. Thank you for letting me
baby,
come on
just
as a
rookie,
guest.
Just a rookie.
Just a
baby.
Rookie, and I'm still liking that coaching. And I love coming to the sideline and getting that feedback. Thanks for all you do, Coach. Proud to be on the team.
You ever had more purpose in your life than you have right now?
Never. And never. What we get Monday through Friday here, this is my church. So spread it, baby. I love the team.
Spread that virus. Spread that virus, will you? Come on in, Jeff, Klein, Clay.
Coach, the show every morning gives you courage just to keep going, because as you get beat down every day, it's crazy.
Amen. I mean,
whether it's my kids, my grandkids, they all think I'm nuts. They don't want to come around. But, you know, over the years, 17 years hanging out with you, we've done the strip clubs, we've done the abortion mills, we've done the gay parades. For 2 summers of being on the square with that war wagon, rebuking them Democrats on the square every Saturday morning, and they hate it. Now we're doing the school board meetings. We got church in the garage running 10 to 20 people every Tuesday night. School board meetings are hating us. They're just looking at us like we are just nuts. I walked out of a meeting the other day 2 weeks ago, 4 pastors in a room, and this was great. I walked out and the 4 pastors sitting in there as I wanted to yell out in the hallway as I was leaving, "Hey, JC, try not to make anybody mad today." I said, "I will do my best."
Amen. That's right. Jeff Klein, Jeff, you have a more effective ministry than anybody in the city of Mount Vernon. That is the truth. Come on in, Clay.
Coach, I just want to say that Jesus chose men to be his followers. He chose them because he knew they were willing to act and do something. And all the people that you talked about this morning have been chosen, and they're following the call. They're answering the call. And
Mark of Ezekiel.
If there's other people in here that have been chosen and you feel the call and you got to answer and you got to follow Jesus and you got to act. And then
what are you going to do? What are you going to do when you stand before the Lord and he says to you, "I gave you this talent. I gave you this gifting," and you didn't do a daggone thing with it? Oh, you might get into heaven, but what a feeling in the pit of your stomach when your Savior looks at you and says, "Man, you could have done so much more." God bless you, Clay. Come on in, Dale.
Well, brother, our relationship was birthed on a battlefield way before there was a queue, brother. And I'm honored as a person to be called friend amongst you and to see what has happened in the queue. And it has inspired me, given me many sermon messages, brother. But whether we have stomped devils, right? Whether we have rescued babies, snatching them out of the fire, or whether we have served hot meals, or whether we have gone to the Georgia Guidestones, whether we've gone to the Fifth Circuit Supreme Court, onward Christian soldiers, brother, I'm honored to be known amongst you.
Amen. Amen, baby. Hey, folks, it ain't about me. It ain't about me. It's about what's in me that gets splashed on you. Come on in, Betty. Come on, Joe.
Well, I went to the store last night to pick up a birthday cake for a girl, and I ran into a friend of mine that her husband's on. Well, he's an elder at our church. And so somehow I wanted to get into the discussion of church. So I said, "Why did Pastor Jerry close the church?" And she wanted to know why I wasn't coming. And I told her, you know, said, for one thing, they got the jab, then they closed it, then you celebrate Halloween, and you just do all these things. You're not helping people. So, and she was in denial of everything.
Yeah, she's so comfortable.
So she says that, he was just doing what the government said. I said, well, does he love God or does he love the government? I mean, you can't be a both, you know? So he is following government rules instead of obeying and trusting God. And somehow we got on Halloween, and she says everything was an excuse. That, oh, no, no, this and no, no, that. I was ready to strangle her. I probably lost a friend, but that's okay.
Amen. You spoke the truth.
Yes, but I said, you know, you're inviting demons in with those trunk and treat things. Oh, yeah. No, you don't realize how good it's helping the kids. You know how many kids we're saving? I said, you're not saving any. You're just giving out candy and demons.
That's all the pulpit's giving out, candy.
Fit to be tied. I'm sorry, but I was fit to be tied, and I think I just lost another friend, which is
all right. Good, good, Betty, good. Come on in, Joe, then Glenn, then Mike. Go, Joe.
I just wanted to thank you, Coach, and say that I know that if we had this on a time machine and we went back to another time, another place, and you were still a football coach and happened to be right age on your team and had the challenges I have and the asthma and everything, I would have had a jersey. And when you're 5 touchdowns up, I would have played. and so now here, you know, I've been going through some real challenges, and right now isn't the time for that, but I know that I'm dealing with this because I'm not alone, and the Lord's with me, and this huddle's with me, and I know there's a greater purpose out there, and I have no idea where I'm going to be in 3 months or 6 months. But I
wouldn't either. None of us do, buddy. None of us do, right? Follow the Savior. That's what I say. Come on in, Glenn, then Mike.
Yeah, Coach. You know, nobody has, you know, and we're giving testimony, but nobody has influenced, no pastor has influenced me greater than you.
It's the group. It's not just me.
Well, it's the group. It's the group, Coach. Yes. But, you know, I first met you in Dallas, and then, you know, we became part of this, the Texas Salt and Life Brigade, you know, and you motivated me and my wife and I started to go to the abortion clinic in Dallas on a regular basis, which we hadn't done prior to that. And now we're in Ohio, and I'm finally starting to get my feet on the ground and learn my way around. So I feel like I'm back in the reserves, but I'm starting to get active again.
Oh yeah, baby. We'll get you in the game here, buddy. We're glad to have you in Ohio. That's for sure. Mike Blake. Thanks, Glenn. Mike and then Tracy.
Yeah, I just wanted to say I've known you, Coach, now for quite a few years, but really only gotten about 3 years ago. And, you know, I thank God that you came into my life and all these people in the huddle and got me off the sidelines and going to the abortion clinics and standing up for what's right and telling people the truth and things that are even happening here at work where they're getting ready to announce that they're going to do the, you know, mandate of the jab and all that. I got people coming because I was outspoken. Now I got people coming to me looking for answers and leadership. I thank God for this group and the courage that it's given me to walk out my faith.
Amen, Mike. And a brand new great grandchild. I said to my wife, how can Mike Blake be a great, great grandfather? That's because this thing, Mike, a wise man gives an inheritance to his children's children. My inheritance is to them. It's to our children's children. Tracy and Rochelle. Come on in, Trace.
I'm sorry to be in again, but I just I know it isn't just you, Coach, but I just have to give some shout-outs to some special warriors that you have in this queue, to Terry Allen and Jeff Nell, Betty Perkins, Jeff Klein. I witnessed what he did over the weekend. Mark Trump, I mean, Brett. There's just been so many Bobby Lee, Chad. That it touched my life in this queue, and God bless you all. And I just hope this grows and grows and grows because it is really special.
It's time, baby.
It's a special thing.
It's time. Thanks, Tracy. Rochelle, Emma.
Well, amen to that, Tracy. Good morning, team. Good morning, Coach. Yes, I wanted to say I was looking for truth, and that's how I found Coach on the Hagman Show. And they were, the mainstream media was making fun of Coach because he came in attacking, I think this was 2 years ago, the halftime show.
Yep.
And I remember being so upset at that halftime show, and nobody else was mad. And I finally heard somebody else who was as mad as I was. And that was how I found Coach. And I started listening, and it took about a year for me to speak up. And then I've been here ever since. And the after show yesterday, we were talking about the Hebrew language, and one of the things that came up was the word Torah and how it means truth and the law. That's what the word Torah means. And it's just like our Ten Commandments, in a sense, is their law. And if everybody followed that, it would be a great place. And you went to the other team's Ten Commandments. You went to the Georgia Guidestones. You went to there, and you have been tearing down strongholds, and the things that you do are so inspiring to so many people. And I just hope that we can all be like you and Paul and fight, have been able to say that we fought the good fight. And
I feel you, sister. I feel you, sister. I feel you. Come on in, Emma. Quickly, Emma.
Thank you, Michelle.
Well, I just wanted to say that Tom and I worked under Jed Smock and Cindy Smock.
I didn't know that.
Well, and then see my doctor used to go to the abortion mill on East Main Street. Please don't call it a clinic. It seems like clinic means some help. It's not a clinic. Anyway, I'm sorry. But what fired me up was going January 6th. I'll tell you what, I have been surveilled already, and it shocks me. But hey, it's okay. And we weren't going to go Saturday night because that's our ecclesia, and I didn't want to miss my grandchildren. But we're going on Saturday night.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Emma, you're on the devil's hit list, man. Isn't that awesome?
Huh? I know it. Yeah, it is awesome.
Hey, the FBI and the Secret Service know where I live. I think that's a good thing. Stand up for Jesus, man. It's the only thing that matters. Where
I lived because I kind of got drawn into going to this thing anyway, whatever.
So it's all good. It's all good. Hey, folks, I could go on and on. We could bring more in here. Get involved. Let us help you get involved. We'll come with you. We'll stand with you. We'll give you the initial courage it takes. Come on, man. Lord hath need of you. See you tomorrow.
Don't forget about me.